Good afternoon. My name's Greg Frank. I'm a hearings officer. I'm employed by the City of Portland Hearings Office to conduct hearings, this being one of them. And my job is to consider the laws that are relevant in the case, consider the evidence in the case, and make a decision based on that. This is an appeal case, and as such, I'm going to be determining whether or not what the Bureau of Transportation issued to you, Mr. Carroll, followed the correct law. Okay, so I'll look at the evidence to make sure that the law is followed. That's my job here. My job isn't to say, gee, I really like you better, or I like your story, or if you've ever been to traffic court, to try to cut down the fee or mitigate or modify in some ways. I'm here, I use it all the time. It's kind of like the Romans, thumbs up and thumbs down, as I'm here to decide that if the city was correct, it's thumbs up for them. If they were incorrect, it's kind of thumbs up for you, okay? So that's what I'm here to do. I don't know either one of you. I'm not sure I've had a case. I've been retired for a year and only doing part-time, so I don't remember, so that's the joys of old age, is you forget things, so you don't have biases and those kind of things because of what people have done before. So I'm gonna say that I have no bias or conflict of interest in this case, so I'll proceed unless I hear differently from you. So what I'd like to do is I'll start with the city side. If you'll slowly but surely tell me first name, last name, tell me who you work for, and give me your city address, please.
My name is Marlene Holliday, Program Regulatory Specialist with the Portland Bureau of Transportation.
Spell your last name, please.
Holliday.
Thank you. And you're with Portland Bureau of Transportation. Your address?
Yes, our mailing address, since we've moved, is 1120 Southwest 5th. I'm not clear. I have to look because we moved. We have a new, different mailing address.
All right. I'm assuming it's on some of the documents you have here.
No, we don't put the Congress building address on our letters.
Okay.
We put on the penalty letter, it will have... It doesn't even have, yes, it has 1120 Southwest 5th, Suite 1410. And the mail gets routed. I don't know the Congress building address. And I believe it's 1001 Southwest 5th.
Well, we'll figure out where you are.
Okay.
Mr. Carroll, if you need to know more detailed where she is, you can inquire. Would you give me your first name and last name? Spell your last name, please.
Yes, first name is Ian, last name is Carell, C-A-R-E-L-L.
Carell, not Carroll.
Okay. Correct.
Got it. I am sorry.
90%.
I apologize.
That's all right.
And I've been known to goof names before, but I try not to do it more than two or three times, so I will really try to do that. We have your address on the appeal hearing request form, so I'm assuming you got the notice of hearing?
Correct.
And you received some documents with that?
Correct.
Those documents included what we've labeled as Exhibit 6, which is called Statement of Rights and Procedure.
Mm-hmm.
If you could find that, please, and I will find it and show you what it looks like if you can't. It looks like this on the top. And on the bottom right, it says Exhibit Number 6.
Yeah, I don't believe I have it.
You have it?
Should I have sent those documents?
We're going to give you something to look at here because
thank you.
I'm really stubborn. I don't move ahead on the hearing unless you've had a chance to review that.
Sure.
So have you seen that document?
I get the gist of it.
Okay. Is there anything you want to ask me about, tell me about, complain about? just sort of vent. All right. Usually the person, usually the one thing people say is, I want an attorney. And we say this is a civil situation, so if you want to bring an attorney and pay for an attorney,
right,
you're more than welcome to do so. Usually costs more than what we're fighting
agreed,
over.
Agreed.
But that's not my choice, that's yours. All right. So you did have an opportunity to review the documents that were in your package?
Correct.
Is there anything in those documents that I should not be looking at? That you don't want me looking at?
No.
Okay. Ms. Holliday, is there anything in the documents that you have seen from Mr. Carroll that Carr? Say it again. Just say it again.
Carell.
Like Steve.
Correct. Exactly.
Got it.
Exactly.
All right. Is there anything in the documents that you want to object to?
No.
All right. So I'm going to admit Exhibits 1 through and including 18 into the record. I will tell you that I have looked at them, some more than others. Let me tell you what I've looked at. I looked particularly, Mr. Carell, at your letter, which we've labeled as Exhibit Number 2. Mm-hmm. And I've looked at, in particular, the, I think it's called Compliance Audit Report, which is Exhibit Number 9, prepared by Ms. Holliday. Okay, those two documents I looked at fairly carefully, and so I just want you to be aware of that, because I don't like people sitting where you are wondering what I've done. So I give you a choice in these appeal hearings, since you're the appellant, to either proceed with your story first, and that's really what it amounts to, your arguments or story, your evidence, or I'll allow you to ask the city to have their evidence come out first. Okay, so it's your choice.
Okay. Yeah, I'll proceed with mine.
Okay. Then would you raise your right hand, please? Do you solemnly swear or affirm testimony about to give us the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
You may proceed, and I really need both of you, you to switch the mic over in front of you, and you kind of lean into the mic. I know it feels a little unnatural. Mm-hmm. This is a recorded hearing, so the reason I didn't ask for your address and talked about it is that I consider that kind of like privileged or private information. It's in the record, so if somebody wants to see it, they can. City's offices, I don't consider quite so privileged and private, and so that's why I asked her. But this is a recorded hearing. If you'd want to listen to this recording, you can do that. There's a case number on all the documents that you have. You go to the hearings office for the City of Portland, go to hearing recordings, and then you'll need that case number, and you can actually listen to this hearing. It's usually put online within a couple days, so you should be able to listen to it then. So you may tell me your story, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
I mean, it's as described as I wrote in the letter there. Basically, I had an interaction with Marlene, and it went the same as the other ones. I've been audited 6-7 times by 5 or 6 different people, and this interaction went a little bit differently. I guess the main difference would be that just the kind of back and forth that we had wasn't as cordial as the other interactions. Beyond that, it was the normal, let me see the paperwork that's due. This is my badge. I work for the City of Portland. And I wasn't able to produce the documents, as she stated, that were asked for in there. I guess the main thing that I wanted to dispute was whether or not in the past, from what I understood, I had, as I said, spoke to a few different regulatory specialists and gotten kind of mixed information. As far as if I was given a warning in the past, that would have been mailed to me, which I never received. Marlene later went into my file and saw that there was one. And I guess that's when she decided to write me a fine, which is what I'm here to dispute, whether or not that's kind of the normal path to handing out a $250 ticket, which I also think is somewhat exorbitant for the crime there.
It's not a crime.
Right. Well,
we all use those words, don't we? But it's a violation of the
city
code.
Sure, that's
a
better word.
I don't wear a robe. We're not in a courthouse, and we don't deal with crimes here.
Agreed.
So, anything else?
No, I believe that that's it. I mean, the other thing that I wrote in the letter was the fact that I didn't know if maybe it was something personal that was going on with Marlene that day that was what led to me being assessed what I thought was a hefty fine for something that I didn't think I should be getting fined for.
Anything else? All right, one of the things I didn't tell you, but I'll just tell you right now, is with your testimony, I give the other person, and I'll do the same thing with her, is give her an opportunity to ask you questions. This is where not having lawyers is a huge disadvantage, to me at least, because people who aren't lawyers aren't used to framing their questions narrowly and then listening to the answer. They want a discussion. Mm-hmm. But you have, she has every right to ask you questions, and so my rules are simple. Keep it short, keep it simple, listen to the answer. Okay? So, do you have any questions?
Yes.
Okay.
So, Mr. Correll said that he had been...
No, this isn't a statement. This is going to have a question mark at the end.
Okay. You never received a warning at the time of the audit that you didn't have the documents?
In January.
January 18th, you never received...
I don't remember the exact...
Hold up. We're going to go back to my rules. Questions are going to be simple. It's an argument, and you're going to listen to his answer.
Okay.
And you're not going to say anything again until he's answered, because I'm going to demand the very same thing of him. This is a matter of mutual respect. Okay? So, ask your question again that you would like him to answer now.
Did you receive a warning at the time of the inspection?
No. Not physically and not in the mail. Not at the time of it and not in the mail as I thought that I would after that, which is what I was told. If someone decides to issue you a warning, you will receive the warning in the mail, and I never received a warning. I never saw that until the paperwork was sent to me as an exhibit.
Any additional questions?
No.
All right. Do you have anything else you want to tell me, sir? All right. Would you raise your right hand, please? You solemnly swear a firm testimony about to give us the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yes.
You may proceed.
So the reason I issued the penalty, I did an inspection on February the 8th, a random mandatory audit, and I did a ride with Mr. Correll, and at the end of the ride, I identified myself as a city employee and showed him my city issued badge and my ID, and I asked for documents. Certification documents that I needed to complete the inspection, which would be a business license, the company insurance that the company that he was working for at the time, I believe it was Uber, and for his personal insurance and the vehicle registration, and I needed his driver's license. So during the inspection, after I identified myself, he gave me his driver's license and he proceeded to look for other documents, the certification documents that I had requested. During my inspection, Mr. Correll received a ride request, and he attempted to accept the ride. And I told him that he couldn't accept the ride at the time of an inspection, and he told me that he had been inspected before, and one of the regulatory specialists told him that he did not have to complete the inspection, that he can accept the ride. And I told him that that was incorrect. When we're in the middle of an inspection, that we have to complete the inspection. If the inspection was near completion, there was a possibility that I would allow a driver to go, but he had no documents. He hadn't showed me any documents. I noticed that he had an orange envelope. It's a certification envelope that we created for the drivers to have to make the inspections a little bit faster and easier for them. It's a bright orange envelope. It has all the information on the front, what they need in the envelope. And I noticed that Mr. Correll had a lot of his personal receipts in the envelope at the time. And I pretty much encouraged him that the envelope was used to keep the certification documents in. And I felt during the inspection that he felt a little annoyed with my asking these questions, so I got out of the vehicle. I got out of the vehicle, I stood outside the vehicle, he got out of the vehicle and kind of walked around, and I was explaining to him that these audits are very important. It's a privilege to operate as a private for hire transportation, and that our job is to provide oversight to the citizens, to the riders. And you have to carry these documents with you. And I didn't know at the time that he had had an audit that he hadn't passed, that he didn't have some of the documents. So I asked him to email me the documents. I did not give him a warning. I did not issue a written warning at the time of the inspection. I asked him to email me the documents by end of day, which he did. I put the email in our in here. He emailed the documents. I believe he emailed them the next day, which was February the 9th, by end of day. And I told him during the inspection that my final determination will be based on follow-up work that we do when we go back to the office. If he's had an audit, which he did, he would have a file. I would have to go into the file to see if there was any warnings, penalties, suspensions, or anything. And when I did my follow-up work, which was February the 14th, that's when I realized that Mr. Correll was issued a warning that I sent to him on January the 18th. I don't know at the time of the audit if he did not get a hard copy of the warning, which he should have at the time of the audit. He said he didn't. I found it in his file, and that's when I made my determination that he did not have the documents at the time of my inspection, and he didn't have them about 2 weeks prior to that. And that's when I talked to my manager, and we decided that we needed to issue him a $250 penalty, which is stated, and I put the code in the class. It was a Class B felony, or Class D. It's a Class D felony. Penalty,
Class
sorry.
D not fe- penalty.
Penalty, not felony,
we
sorry.
Don't want to use these kind of words, these crimes and felonies.
No, penalty.
We need to move down the street. Okay, go ahead.
And then he appealed the decision that I made.
Okay.
Anything but because else? he was out of compliance both times on the 18th, January 18th, and on February 8th.
Anything else?
No.
Mr. Correll, do you have any questions?
Yes. So the normal course of action when someone's issued a warning, they're supposed to be handed that warning physically, or it's supposed to be mailed to them? What is the normal?
At the time of the inspection, if a warning is written, the warning should be given to the driver at that time.
Okay.
If the driver, I don't know why a regulatory specialist would not give you the warning at the time, and if they're going to issue the warning should be, I mean, you should have the warning within 48 hours in the mail.
And is it regular procedure for them if they hand you that warning right then for you to sign that as a receipt of the fact that you've received it?
No, you don't have to sign the warning. The warning is not signed. It's the hard copy itself with the regulatory specialist initials on it. It's evidence that you've been received the warning. And the warning is just for you to correct the action and to know if the warning is subject to a penalty. And you may receive a penalty based on, and sometimes we will talk about the decision. I'll talk to my manager, depending. This was so recent to where we decided that a penalty was warranted.
Any other questions, sir?
That's it.
Anything else you want to tell me?
No.
Final comments, Mr. Correll.
I mean, I think the disconnect just comes from the inconsistencies that I've received talking to different people within the Portland Bureau of Transportation. I think that either way, I was audited and I failed that, so there's no excuse the second time around to not have that paperwork. I'm an adult and I take responsibility for that. The first time, I had no knowledge that there was a group of people that would be coming looking for hard copies of these documents, which you can find within the digital application itself. And that's what I told the first woman who audited me. I said, so I need a hard copy of this, as well as a hard copy of the insurance. Well, I mean, the state of Oregon will accept a digital copy of insurance, but the city of Portland won't. She said, that's exactly correct. And I said, okay, that's a little bit surprising to me. So I think that's kind of where the disconnect comes from. That and the fact that I never received the warning, so I wasn't sure that I had had one. Had I received that already, probably would have been a little more diligent with my paperwork. Again, that's on me as an adult to take care of that. I had when I rode with when you rode with me, just purchased another car, you'll see the license plate on the initial warning, which I never received, is different from the current car that I'm driving, and that's probably why my paperwork wasn't in there.
Final comments?
I just want to note, to operate as a private for hire transportation driver in the city of Portland, there are state rules and then there's city code and rules that you have to abide by. And those rules, we make decisions, we make recommendations to city council, and city council made the final decision. I know that you're a TNC company and you have an app, but they made the final decision that the drivers, and I sent the code to you under driver contact, conduct, the responsibilities that you have to have hard copies in the vehicle when you're operating as a private for hire transportation driver.
Anything else?
No.
All right. Quite honestly, this is not a very difficult case. It's primarily not difficult because, Mr. Crowell, you've indicated that on this particular inspection with Ms. Holliday, that you didn't have all the required documents. So if you don't have all the required documents, then what law am I supposed to look at? And what can I do for you as well as the city? And so that I looked at the code, which is referenced a couple times in the documents that you've seen, but it's Portland City Code 16.40.280. And in paragraph B, which was on the notice letter to you of the $250 civil penalty, it indicates the driver shall carry, and then it says the first four words, a non-digital copy of, and then it goes on to those things. So whether the state require or allows non-digital, I can't break the city law because the state does something different unless the city law says that we're supposed to look at the state law. So the violation and every single case, in my opinion, comes down to two things. In other words, was there a violation? And number two, is the penalty appropriate? In other words, is the in a lawsuit, are the damages appropriate? And so I looked at the very same section B, and in 4 it says it's a Class D violation, and a Class D violation first offense is $250. And so I sort of feel like somebody, you know, Houdini without the ability to get out, is I feel like my hands are tied, that you've told me that there wasn't all the documents, violation. The $250 is the city mandated penalty for a first offense in under that section. So I don't believe I have any authority or right to find anything other than agree with the city's determination. Let me talk really quickly because this is outside what I'm supposed to talk about. I've just done what I'm supposed to do, and that's I've listened carefully, actually, enough to realize the violations weren't even an issue. And then I simply looked at the law and saw the $250 was appropriate, and so there's not much I can do. Every single organization, including the city, is going to have human beings operating enforcement, and you're going to get slightly different stories, or you're going to get the perception of different stories, if that's probably more accurate, from different people at different time under different circumstances. What I try to tell people when they come in here is that when you first got your permit, they made you look at a whole bunch of stuff, and one of them was the section that I told you to look at, or I told you that I looked at. And that says the non-digital. I mean, those kind of things may be not consistent as far as how they're enforced perfectly, but I have no evidence that it's unlawful discrimination against you. Therefore, some circumstances are going to follow exactly the perfect letter, and some they're going to say no. It's I can't comment on why you didn't receive the first warning, but I didn't take that into consideration in my decision. Whether you had been issued a warning or not, that's an administrative issue that PBOT would deal with. But since you didn't have all those documents, technically you're subject to that $250 civil penalty. So it sounds harsh, sounds like government, doesn't it, sometimes? And I apologize for that. But I've been dealing with private for hires for a long time. And I don't put it in the language that it was a privilege that you have this. Maybe that's true. But what I do is I look at the underlying reason for these documents and the underlying reasons for all of these things that are in the code, theoretically, maybe not the dollar amount, is the safety of the people you take. And that's probably my first concern. And so when somebody comes and says, well, yeah, I didn't have it, but it wasn't important that day, that's true. It probably is true. But you're probably not the one we're trying to protect against. But I'll bet you next time that an orange envelope goes with you before you ever get into a private for hire transportation car. At least I hope that's the case, you know. And once again, it's primarily for the safety of those folks that are riding with you, that they know that you've done everything that you're supposed to do. So my decision, Mr. Grell, will go out in the mail. It will go to the address of the city. And it will also go to you. And at the end of it, it's going to tell you have a right to appeal. If you wish to appeal my decision, I just always like people to understand that it's not as informal as this. It's not as relaxed as this. Because now you're going to be going through the metal detectors, and you're going to be going into the real courthouse, and the judges are going to be real robe-wearing judges. It's called a writ of review, the process. If you don't know what that means you probably ought to get a lawyer to handle the case for you, because it really is a real lawsuit kind of thing. And it's not that I'm trying to have you expend money in this thing. What I'm trying to do is tell you that everyone I've ever seen trying to handle their own writ of reviews at the circuit court level has been unsuccessful procedurally, not even getting to the point where they can explain it. And I tell the city the same thing, is if Ms. Holliday went down on a writ of review and defended a writ of review, that would not be particularly good for the city either. The city attorney's office ought to be involved. So I'm telling you, you have a right to appeal. I'm not telling you not to appeal. You have that right. And if you if a judge tells me I'm wrong, usually what I do is say thank you, because I didn't see what the particular issue was or the problem was, or I was having a bad day. And I'm not trying to have a bad day at anyone's detriment, but I will take their comments and grow from that. So with that, then, I've admitted Exhibits 1 through and including 18. I'm going to uphold the city's determination letter, and I will issue a decision accordingly. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.